Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the fact that when we were born again, we received eternal life. Eternal life is not live forever life. We were going to live forever before we were born again. We were simply going to live in hell. Eternal life, that phrase, when it's used in connection with what we receive because we're born of God, does not refer to length of life. It refers to a type of life that we receive into our spirit. When we're born again, we receive the very uncreated eternal life in God Himself. We've made the point that the Bible uses three word pictures to describe our relationship with Christ once we're born again. Vine and branch, head and body, husband and wife. All three word pictures show union and shared life. We are united to Jesus and the life in Him as truly as a branch is joined to a vine. We're joined to Jesus as truly as a head and body are joined together and share life. And we're united to Him as truly as a husband and a wife come together and share one life. That's the idea. There's something in you that wasn't in you before you were born again. It's the very life in God Himself. Now, we left off yesterday making the point that lessons like these don't seem real practical. I've had people say things like that to me. I have real trouble. I need real help. This is not a helpful lesson. But you have to understand, all the problems we face, all the problems faced by the human race, are manifestations of a deeper problem, namely spiritual death, which is separation from God. Man's problem, apart from Christ, is that he is dead or cut off from the life in God because of sin. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a very familiar chapter. That's the chapter, it starts out in the first 14 verses talking about the blessings of obedience. You'll be blessed coming in, you'll be blessed going out, you'll be blessed in the field, you'll be blessed in your storehouse, so on and so forth. But then in verse 15, it changes. And from that point to the end of the chapter, it lists the curses or the consequences that result from breaking God's law. You'll be cursed coming in, you'll be cursed going out. If you read that chapter, I encourage you, get a modern translation. The King James can be a little difficult because of the language. In a more modern chapter or translation, you'll see clearly, we find every ill, every problem faced by the human race. Physical and mental and emotional sickness, lack, spiritual lack and physical lack, fear, depression, relational issues, defeat, so on and so forth. Those are all manifestations or demonstrations of spiritual death or being cut off from the life in God. Now, I'm not saying that you're sick or in lack because you committed a sin. You may be, but probably not. Those things are present in the earth because of Adam's sin, and we all encounter those kinds of things. But God's solution to man's problem, which is spiritual death, and all these lesser things are manifestations of spiritual death, God's solution to man's problem is to give us eternal life in every part of our being, to give us His uncreated life in every part of our being. The wages of sin is death, but Romans 6:23 goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life, the life that's in God Himself. See, Jesus came to earth and at the cross joined us in death, so that we could join Him in life through the new birth. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Let me read those to you. It says, For as much then as children, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. We're coming in the middle of the thought. It's making the point that because we all have flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also took on a human nature, flesh and blood. Now listen to this, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Tons of stuff in those verses we're not going to address. But notice, Jesus took on flesh so that through death he could destroy him that has the power of death, which is the devil. He joined us in death, which is where we were. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says that's the condition of people before they're born again. I didn't become a Christian until I was 24. I was very much alive physically, but I was dead spiritually, lacking the life of God in my inner being, cut off from the life in God. Well, at the cross, Jesus took our death on himself, joined us in death, to take us through death, to bring us out of death, and deliver them who through death, fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says, let me start in verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Tons of stuff in those verses we're not going to address, but notice the point. Jesus came to abolish death. Jesus went to the cross for us, as us. When he was on the cross, it was though you and I were on the cross. He took our sin on himself, and he died the death we should have died and would have died for our sins. He was cut off from the Father. We could do a whole lesson on that. But as the God-man, fully God and fully man, the value of his person was such that he could pay for the sins of the human race. He had no sin of his own, and once the price for our sin was paid, death could no longer hold him, and he was raised up and came out of death. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, who was delivered to the cross for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now that little word for means on account of. He was delivered to the cross on account of our offenses, and he was raised again on account of our justification. His resurrection is proof that we've been justified, or our sins have been wiped out. Because Jesus had no sin of his own, once our sin was paid for, he could come out of death. Because he was there for us, when he was raised up and made alive again, we were raised up and made alive again. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 says, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. That's how the Amplified says it. Romans 6:4 says, we were buried with him through immersion into his death. See, we were included in the death he died. It was us dying on the cross through our substitute. Goes on to say that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the Father's glorious power, we too might live and move in the new sphere of life. We too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. He joined us in death to take us through death and bring us out of death so that we could have his life. We could do whole lessons on that. In the resurrection, God gave life to our substitute. And when we believe on Jesus, that life comes into us. The same life that was given to Jesus at the resurrection, eternal, uncreated life, comes into our spirit. And our spirit is regenerated or recreated, and we are literally born of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Eternal life becomes our present tense possession. He that hath the Son hath life. Spiritual death, actually our sin nature is spiritual death. That's what the sin nature is. It's spiritual death. Our sin nature is driven out and replaced by the life and nature of God. The entrance of eternal life into our innermost being is the beginning of a process of transformation that will ultimately deliver our entire being from every effect of sin and death. It will conclude when our bodies are glorified or made like Jesus' resurrection body beyond the touch of corruption and death at his second coming. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." The end goal of salvation is transformation, to turn sinners into sons, to turn unholy, unrighteous men and women into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. God does that by sharing with us the very same life that's in him. We're born of him. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That life is ultimately going to transform every part of our being, ending in us having a body. This body of corruption will take on incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 53 say, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption, and our body will be like Jesus' resurrection body beyond the touch of sin, corruption, and death." But the entrance of eternal life into our spirit through the new birth can have a huge impact on us in this life. We are united to the life in God through Jesus, and we can learn to walk in dependence on the life of God in us. We're going to talk more about that as the week goes on here. But here's the point. What if you were able to walk as Jesus walked? Nothing overcame him. He overcame everything else. He always had an answer. He couldn't be backed into a corner. When he had a need, the need was met. When he issued a command, the command was obeyed. When he prayed for the sick, they were healed. All of that he did by the life of the Father in him, the same life that comes into us when we're born again. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.